Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
It was that same yearning for freedom that nearly 250 years ago gave birth to a special place called America. It was a small cluster of colonies caught between a great ocean and a vast wilderness. It was home to an incredible people with a revolutionary idea that they could rule themselves, that they could chart their own destiny, and that together they could light up the entire world.
Well, good evening, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to Praying for America, where patriots, Christians from all across the country gather together each night, and we pray for this great country. We give thanks to God for the freedom that we have. We commit ourselves to continue defending that freedom and building up this country in the way our founders intended. So welcome, and thank you for taking the time. We have tonight a special guest that I want to get right to introducing him, and then we're going to go into the Word of God and prayer and have a great discussion. His name is Mike Hill. I first met him when shortly after I moved to Florida myself with our Priest for Life ministry, and he was serving in the Florida House of Representatives, and got to know him and the great work he did in the legislature, standing, of course, for pro-life legislation and many other excellent bills that he sponsored and worked on. And he served in the Air Force as well. And he is an insurance agent in his employment. And he is continuing now to work for the good of our country in the way that we are talking about this evening. So Mike Hill, welcome to the program.
Father Pavone, thank you for having me. It's my honor.
Well, let's. We're going to have a lot to talk about with you. We look forward to your thoughts. I want to share a scripture here from the end of Matthew's gospel. As we're all aware, Jesus commissions his disciples to go out into all nations. And let's read here, starting in verse 16. The 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had summoned them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." Let us pray. Father, we come together tonight again as followers of your Son and as people aware that he has given us a commission to bring all the nations into your kingdom and to help your people observe what you have commanded us. Lord, we know that we have to observe your commands in our personal choices, but we know too that part of observing all you have commanded us is to create public policies and laws that are rooted in your law, O God, as our founders understood. Therefore, we ask your light and your strength that we in our day, throughout these 50 states, may continue to carry out this great commission. Lord, we want the right kinds of laws, and therefore we ask you, help us to choose the right kinds of lawmakers. We want the right kinds of court decisions. Therefore, O God, we ask you that we would put in place the right kinds of judges. Lord God, we want all nations to observe what you have taught us, because what you command is the path to our happiness and our fulfillment. May those in public life observe your commands that we may all live lives of godliness, devotion, order and peace, and that the rights of all may be protected and the values you instill in us may be preserved and promoted. We ask all this in the mighty name of the only Lord, the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, well, let's begin, Mike, by acquainting the audience a little bit more with you and your background. Tell us about your own decision to become a lawmaker here in Florida.
Yes, that started back probably in 2010, Father Pravone. At that time, President Obama was president of the United States. And I was getting frustrated at just yelling at the TV. So I told myself I can either run for office or I can keep yelling at the TV. So I decided to run for office. I ran for state senate. This was back in 2010. Didn't know what I was doing or how to even go about it. I just ran for office. Of course, I didn't win. I got 30% of the vote. But then in 2013, there was a special election because the state representative in my area, I'm in the panhandle of Florida, the Pensacola area, had passed away from cancer unexpectedly. So there was a special election. I was encouraged to run. I was elected in that special election in 2013 and then had to run again in 2014 for the regular seat. And I did. So I was in office from 2014 until 2018, then ran for district. The first time I ran was in District 1. Then I ran in District 2 and was elected again. And so I left office in 2020, November of 2020. So just a little over a year ago, or not quite a year now.
So, you know, it is a, as you were talking about that, I thought how often I have said that the call to elected office is a vocation. You know, people talk about the clergy, or we have a vocation, but the call to public service, lawmaking, I mean, that's scripture says, Paul writes to the Romans, and he says that those who are serving in public office are ministers of God. Because of course God establishes all authority and guides us in the way that we need to go. And in your time in office, I mean, there were a number of abortion related bills that you were involved in sponsoring. Tell us about some of those initiatives.
Yes, Father Pravone, I sponsor what is called the heartbeat bill. The heartbeat bill specifically says that once a heartbeat is detected in the womb, and that can happen as early as 18 days, but once a heartbeat is detected in the womb, then that baby cannot be aborted. Now, the first time I introduced that legislation was with the 2019 Florida State session. It did not get a hearing at that time. The leadership, Republican leadership, would not give it a committee assignment for whatever reason. They did not. I was then determined to bring it back for the next session. However, as I was considering bringing it back, I heard clearly from the Lord to remove exceptions from that bill. My first bill stated that there could not be an abortion once a heartbeat is detected unless there are cases of rape, incest, human sex trafficking, or the life of the mother is in peril. So the Lord spoke to me and said, remove those exceptions. And I did. The only exception I left in there is if there is what's called an ectopic pregnancy, where the woman's life is definitely in danger. But I removed the exception of rape, incest, and human sex trafficking. And the reason I did that is one, because I did hear from the Lord, and because it became clear to me that despite the terrible tragedy those incidences are, rape, incest, and human sex trafficking, there is no life unless God says there's going to be life there. Mm-hmm. So despite those tragedies, if God has decided that there is going to be life there, who are we to say, no, God, you made a mistake, we're going to have to kill that baby?
Right.
That baby is just as precious in God's sight as anyone else. So I removed those exceptions, recognizing that out of a tragedy, triumph can happen, life can come. And from that, a child is born who can then bring things into this world and can further God's kingdom.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, and we've seen many times over the years, you know, those some studies that have been done and the experience we have with people who have been victims, for example, of various kinds of sexual assault, those that have gone forward who have conceived and gone ahead and had abortions, the abortion didn't help them. It hurt them more. It brought additional trauma to the one that they had already experienced. And on the other side of the coin, those that had experienced such assault and conceived and then brought the baby to birth found so much life, hope, and joy in the love between them and their child. So, you know, a lot of people are, as you know, they run to, you know, those exceptions. Say, oh, I'm against abortion, except for rape or some of these other circumstances. And there's a lot of education that needs to be done in that particular area to show that even then, abortion is not at all a solution or anything that's helpful. So thanks for taking that stand within the area of the law.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. You know, Father Frank, when I was elected to office, in order to occupy your seat, myself or any official who's elected, two things have to happen. One, you have to win more votes than your opponent, obviously. And number two, you have to say an oath of office.
Yes.
And that oath of office says, I do solemnly swear to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States and its government and the Florida Constitution, and that I am duly qualified and able to perform the duties of the position in which I'm about to enter, so help me God.
Yes.
Now, when I said that oath, Father Provone, it wasn't just between me and the person administering the oath, even though they were included. It wasn't just between me and my constituents, those of the entire state of Florida, even though they are included. That oath was between me and the living God.
Yes.
I was promising God that I was going to support, protect, and defend the Constitution. It was an act of worship for me. And inextricably tied to the Constitution is our Declaration of Independence. And in the Declaration of Independence, it says that we recognize those statements of God created all men equal and endowed them with certain inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And to secure these rights, government is instituted among men, deriving their just powers by the consent of the governed. And so because the Declaration is tied to the Constitution, and I swore an oath to defend the Constitution, I'm also swearing an oath to defend the Declaration of Independence. And it says that the reason I exist, the reason why government exists, is to secure those inalienable rights. The first one is life. And so because of that, I was compelled to defend life and to present the heartbeat bill as a piece of legislation.
You know, Mike, you also bring up, and for those that are just joining us, we're talking with Mike Hill, former member of the Florida House of Representatives. He's up in the panhandle of the state of Florida. You know, the point that you made is so important, that you take an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States and, of course, of Florida. Now, every state legislator across the nation takes this oath to the Constitution. And the reason I think that's so important today for citizens to recognize is that we often think that the courts are the only interpreters of the Constitution. That's not the case. They have a certain important role. But tell me your thoughts on this. When you take that oath to the Constitution, you are promising to defend it as you understand it. You're not promising an oath to defend it the way some judge someplace is going to tell you what it means. So there's a person very, as you're pointing out, and you said before, I thought it was very striking that it's an act of worship that you're engaged in when you're taking that oath of office. But you know, you are reading the Constitution, you are absorbing and understanding it, and then you are committing yourself to defending that understanding of it. So, I mean, the legislators, and especially when it comes to issues as fundamental as the right to life and many other issues impacting our freedom and our nation, legislators need to rise up and say, look, we have a role here. We have a responsibility here. There are three branches of government, but they are co-equal. We can say the Constitution means this, and this is where we're going to stand. And isn't it so necessary today that we restore that balance and that we have legislators who understand their own responsibility? I think that some, especially when you're dealing with controversial issues, they want to take refuge in, oh, well, the court said this, there's nothing I can do about it. And it's like they want to absolve themselves of responsibility because some judge said something. But no, the responsibility is still theirs, isn't it?
Absolutely, Father Pavone. The legislative body and the executive branch has just as much right and authority to interpret the Constitution as the judicial branch does. Now, in order to do that, you have to know what the Constitution says. You have to read it. I'm not sure how many who have been elected into office have actually read the Constitution since they were in high school. And I think that should be a prerequisite, that you read and understand that Constitution so that you can interpret it correctly. And should a judge come back with a decision which is clearly unconstitutional, and Father Pavone, unfortunately, we have seen that happen too many times coming from the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yes.
Most recently in the Obergefell decision, where they said marriage can be between a man and a man. Utter nonsense, completely nonsense. And to say that you found some place in the Constitution that allows that, again, is utter nonsense. The legislative body should have stood up and says, no, we are not going to have that in this state. And in fact, Father Pavone, the people of Florida did that back in 2012, I believe it was, where they passed a constitutional amendment which says marriage is between a man and a woman. And that is the law of the land here in the state of Florida. And despite that Supreme Court making that erroneous decision, it does not apply here in Florida. And officials should stand up to that, recognize that, and declare here in Florida, we the people have spoken and said marriage is between a man and a woman, period.
You know, when we were talking not too long ago, we were talking about the qualifications that candidates for public office should have. And of course, one of them we've just identified, they need to know the Constitution. They need to understand their role as taking an oath to that Constitution and being able to interpret and defend it. What are some of the other characteristics that you would say we need to keep in mind? And as we say about vetting the candidates, you know, sometimes a candidate will come to us and say, hey, I'm running for office, you know, vote for me, support me. But Mike, also other times, and I think our citizens need to think about this more, we might notice in somebody else in our community the characteristics of leadership. Maybe they're not thinking yet of running for office, but we see that they have certain qualities, and we should give them the idea. We should plant the seed that they should run for office. What are some of those qualities and characteristics that should be on our radar?
Father Pavone, you said that so well, that we should be going out looking for people to run for office. And I believe some of the characteristics that we should look for in someone who wants to run for office or someone we identify should run for office are faith, virtue, and freedom. And what I mean by that, by faith, it should be someone who understands and professes to be a Christian. I know that might be politically incorrect, but I believe that this is a nation that was founded on Christian principles. We need those who hold true and dear the Christian faith, those who are going to live out that faith even while they're in office. Don't believe this nonsense, a separation of church and state, that it is found nowhere in the Constitution, nowhere in the Declaration of Independence, and nowhere in the founding documents that our founding fathers used to write the Declaration of Independence, to write our Constitution. Instead, that is from a letter that was written by Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptists. And the intent was that the state was not going to impose its will on the church. Mm-hmm. That there was a wall of separation there, not that the church cannot get involved in politics. In fact, right. It should. Our founding fathers set up our Constitution based on politics, the three branches of government. That comes from Isaiah 33:22. It says, "The Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, and the Lord is our king." That's the judicial, legislative, and executive branch. They specifically set it up that way. Even Jesus himself talked politics. And people will say, "Mike, where is that in the Bible?" I can point it to you there specifically. Look at Luke 19:16-19. And that is when Jesus was telling the parable of the person who gave 10 talents to one, 5 talents to another, and 1 talent to the rest. Went off on a journey, came back. The one with 10 said, "Look, master, I've doubled it. I have 10 more." Jesus' response was, "Well done. I will now put you in charge of 10 cities.
Yes.
That sounds like politics to me.
Yes.
Put you in charge of cities. That is politics. We are to get involved in politics. Because if we don't, Father Provone, if we don't get involved, we'll have the godless who will be elected into office, and we'll see ourselves in this mess that we are in right now.
So that's faith, right. Yes, go sir. Ahead.
Faith should be one of the first things that we look for in an individual when we're going to elect them into office. The next is virtue. And what I mean by virtue is know why you are solid in your convictions. As a man thinks, so is he in his heart. And out of the heart, out of the mouth comes the abundance of the heart. If you want to know what a person stands for, what they're all about, listen to what they say. You have to think right. You have to act right. And you have to live right. So if you're going to think right, act right, and live right, you must think about the right things. So what should we think about? We should think about Philippians 4:8. So whatever is true and just and holy and of righteousness and of virtue, if there be any of these things, any of those things there, think on those things, because that is what will be in your heart and that is how you will live. And then finally, Father Frank, I think if you're looking for a candidate, it must be someone who loves freedom.
Yes.
And what I mean by freedom is we champion the rights of the individual. And that is how God looks at us. He looks at us individually. We champion the rights of the individual, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, equal protection of the law, and recognizing a constitution that limits the power of the government, not where we can impose the government's will on the people. Instead, freedom. You know, so often we have seen today, Father Provone, where there are these groups who want to be recognized, whether it's critical race theory, Black Lives Matter, or the homosexual movement, and they put themselves in groups and classes. The left does that so often, when instead we should be championing the rights of the individual, not groups. And what I will tell people oftentimes, when they ask me about this, my position, I said, one day you are going to stand before the Almighty God. And it's just going to be you and God individually. There will be no group behind you to try and give you support. It's going to be you and God giving an account. So you might as well get used to it now, individually, not aligning yourself with some group to try and give yourself more rights.
You know, this is a great summary, and I want to, on every show, we give our audience little action items to take. And I'd like to suggest that our viewers, in response to this program, make their own notes, make a little list. And incorporating what you've just said, you know, put down, you know, what do I look for in a candidate? What makes me say, I really want to support this person for public office? Or maybe not just support them if they ask me to, but maybe I'll suggest to them that they run. And what is it that I'm going to look for? And these great characteristics. Mike, before our time runs out, I want to ask you one other question. When you were serving in the state legislature, and this is also one of the things we always ask our audience to do, get to know who their state legislators are. Because I find very often people know who their member of Congress is on the federal level. But sometimes they don't know as well. And it's ironic because it's easier to connect with our state legislators. They don't know too well who they are. Did you find that a lot of the people you represented in the state legislature would connect with you, call you, write to you, come to see you? Were you surprised? Was it more? Was it less? Or was it about what you expected? And how would you encourage people to do that, to make the connections they need to make with those who are representing them?
Well, Father Cravone, I was disappointed in the lack of the number of people who did contact me, who did reach out to me. There weren't that many. Those who did come and see me typically were lobbyists, of course, or those who were a part of a certain cause. They would come see me, but the average everyday constituent did not. And I was disappointed in that I thought they should reach out more. I did get some, but not near as much as there should be. And I would encourage your audience, Father Cravone, to do just that. When they are not in session, which they are not right now, go see them and let them know what is important to you. Because if you don't tell them, they don't know.
Right. So important. Well, Mike, thank you so much. Let's go into a prayer now. We always ask our audience to let us know what kind of prayer needs they have. And of course, we always have the basic requests for prayers for wisdom, for guidance, for health, for necessities in life, for children or family members that might be straying away from God. But in particular, we want to pray for the things that we discussed here, for our elected representatives and that they would be strengthened, that they would be wise. So I want to say a little prayer, and I want to invite you to lead us in prayer as well. And then we'll say goodbye to our audience. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for establishing government. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to shape it and the freedom to have a voice, to have a say in the lawmaking process. Thank you, Lord, for these gifts. We ask you to enable all of us to have a deeper understanding of how our system of government works, and how it fits into your divine providence, your divine ordering of human society. Lord, we are citizens of your kingdom of heaven, and we are citizens of the United States of America. And we rejoice in both of these citizenships that we hold. We ask you, Lord, that we will always be able to live them both out freely, joyfully, and without any contradiction between the two. And if there ever is, Lord, any kind of contradiction, we ask that we may always be found faithful to you, to your law, to your gospel. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen. And Mike, please pray for us.
Yes. Father, we thank you for the gift of this great nation that you have put us in, the most magnificent, the most powerful, the most benevolent nation that the world has ever seen. And Lord, we're grateful that you have given us the privilege of living in this great nation, a nation that is worth fighting for, a nation that is worth preserving. Lord, I ask that you would speak clearly to those who are considering running for office. Lord, make it clear and plain to them whether they should or not. And let us, and Lord, those of us who are considering those candidates, let us vet them properly so that we can have the right people in office so that this nation can fulfill its destiny of preaching the gospel to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, friends, we've been talking with Mike Hill. And Mike, thank you for your service in the Florida legislature. Thank you for your service to our country as well. You served in the Air Force. And thanks for sharing your thoughts and inspiration with us today. We hope to continue the conversation and be in contact with you in the future. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Father Provone. It was my honor. Thank you.
All right. Well, friends, thank you for joining us. Be assured of our ongoing prayers for you, for your families, and for the work that God lets you do for his kingdom and for our country. May he bless and protect you, keep you safe, and let others know about our program. We will be back again with you tomorrow. Take care.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.